So I want to just bring up the one final paper, and that is the Zinner paper, RAM, much discussed, kind of a little bit different in terms of the, maybe you can explain this endpoint that they were using, but maybe you can talk about what they present and what you think it means.
Sure. I was involved in this study for a very simple reason. This is not a genomic study. This is not a scientifically appealing study, but it actually asks a very practical question. You know, you use paclitaxel, carbo, bev in practice. The doctors are very comfortable using pemetrexed and carboplatin. So can we compare the two? So it's a very straightforward two regimens commonly used, and asking is, can we spare the patients from the side effects of bevacizumab? Can we use it? That I agree. The end point is, you could have said simply progression-free survival, but the decision was made to look at this composite endpoint. So this is where it gets a little bit complicated. So the primary endpoint is not your straightforward progression-free survival. It's a grade 4 progression-free survival. What does it mean? Your progression is defined if you have one or the other. If you either have a grade 4 toxicities, adverse events, not anything less than that, or disease progression, obviously whichever comes first. So that's as simple as that. You can quibble with that kind of a thing, but it's kind of a loaded towards a favorable regimen that probably also is a better efficacy. The important point to highlight here is that this is not a non-inferiority study. This is a superiority study. So going in, the hypothesis is that pemetrexed carboplatin would be superior to paclitaxel carbo-bev in terms of the grade 4 PFS, that is either grade 4 toxicities or progression-free survival. So that's the outline of the study. 450 patients or so were screened, and essentially 360 or 70 patients got enrolled in the study. And the bottom line is that the study did not meet the primary endpoint of showing that PEM-CARBO is better in terms of grade 4 PFS than paclitaxel carboplatin bevacizumab. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, the grade 4 PFS, as was defined, was about 4.5 months with PEM-CARBO, 5.5 months with paclitaxel carbo bevacizumab. Overall survival, once again, statistically no difference, but the pemetrexed carboplatin was about 10.5 months, paclitaxel carbo bev about 11.5 months. So numerically superior with the ECOG regimen, paclitaxel carbo bev. So this study did not meet the primary endpoint, but you do get a sense of what the patients got when you randomize them in terms of progression-free survival and overall survival. So for those physicians who are using pemetrexed and carbo over paclitaxel carbo-bev, this is probably the first comparison head-to-head of what happens when you randomize a group of patients. Based on these results, could you say that you should use pem-carbo over paclitaxel carbo-bev? The answer is no. If you really don't want to use bevacizumab for one reason or the other, you want to get a sense of what pem-carbo does in this population, this is the only piece of data that's out there.
And if the patient, let's say we keep talking about the astute patient, says to you, okay, is the benefit that I might receive from these two regimens, the carbo-paclitaxel-bev versus carbo-pem, is the benefit going to be the same?
So that's a technical answer, there is a practical answer. Technically correct answer is that the study was designed to show superiority in terms of PFS. When you don't show superiority, it doesn't mean they are equivalent or you cannot say that. In terms of practical thing, the benefit from bevacizumab in these patients is modest. That's the best you can say from all these studies, and that stands. So in other words, looking at the data, I don't feel bad in giving somebody PEM-CARBO alone if I decide not to give bevacizumab. That's the take-home message.
That was actually the initial thought I had, was it was a little bit comforting to people who are not BEV-eligible that there's an effective regimen. But then what I saw is people kind of taking the thought that Dave expressed, well, even though it is funny because it was a negative trial, and yet looking at this as, you know, potentially equivalent, and do I really need to give Bev? John, how did you see this?
Yeah, I think factually everything that Govindan said, I have no choice but to agree with. But taking a bit more of a cynical eye to this, while there is a practical nature, you know, one expects that this trial was designed to show some way that carboplatin and pemetrexed could be found to be superior to the ECOG 4599 regimen. And I think the expectation was that toxicity would end up being favorable. And if you actually look at it, really, I think some people may be surprised that in terms of overall toxicity, there isn't a clear advantage to my eye with the pemetrexed regimen. I think there's an expectation, for example, in the elderly study looking above age 75 in the analysis Mark was talking about, that pemetrexed would be a gentler regimen. But consistently, we're seeing higher anemia, higher thrombocytopenia. We're seeing more fatigue, typically, in those regimens. Now, clearly, we have alopecia and neuropathy and a little higher FNN in the paclitaxel-containing regimens. So one of the take-homes here actually may have been that the lack of toxicity advantage for the pemetrexed regimen here that was clearly, I think, the reason this study was done, if one took a more cynical view.
I agree
with many of the points John made. And I don't think we should put too much emphasis on the secondary endpoints. This was a really underpowered trial, only 360 patients. You can't draw conclusions about PFS and OS and all those sorts of things. So I think this was more of a plot to show the differing toxicity that frankly failed. And it really, I actually don't know how this should influence your practice.
Right.
And in fact, I think it shouldn't influence your practice in any way.